Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's episode of Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast, is brought to you by The Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in at sportsdrink, that's sportsdrink without the vowels. All we ask is you close the door behind you or try not to let the funk out. All right, guys, welcome to another Pit Panther Rants, our Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Arish, host, brought to you by, of course, The Sports Drink. And, of course, it's been a fun time. We have college football expansion is heated up. So we get to talk, you know, so basically this podcast will be mostly about college football expansion. And, yeah, it's probably going to be a boring, maybe a boring podcast, but maybe we'll liven it a little bit. We'll see. I mean, you know, what can we do? First of all, guys, happy Friday to you all. But we'll talk about some other stuff as well as, you know, all this crap. I hope you guys, it's Friday, and I hope you guys had an amazing 4th of July. Yeah, an amazing weekend. I mean, I had my birthday that weekend. I'm 43 now. I'm 43 and I'm podcasting and I'm on Twitter. Yep. I'm 43 and I'm doing that. My dad at 43, I'm sure was, what was he doing this time of the year? He was basically at the pool, you know, in our backyard because we had a pool on a deck, drinking beers and, you know, listening to music. But no, I'm here in, you know, podcasting. Of course, I don't have a pool, you know, my house. You know, I can get one of those pools, but of course they need a deck and a green cooler, but I don't really drink a whole lot of beer as much, so that won't work. So what, you know, what else can we do? So let's talk about expansion. UCLA and USC went to the Big Ten. And I really, you know, I don't really get the logic in this. I know the Pac-12 has been suffering. And, you know, they've been suffering in terms of, you know, just the clout. I mean, they don't carry the clout that they used to have. And I think also being on the West Coast doesn't help much because their games are late. But, I mean, they've had plenty of good teams. I mean, they've had lots of great programs. I mean, when USC is on, they're on. That's what makes it exciting. But when they're not, they're not. I mean, after Pete Carroll left, USC, for the most part, if you look at their records, I mean, they've hovered around the 8-3, 7-5 type of season every year. Then the Pete Carroll era happened, and they were 11. I mean, Pete in his second year, they were 11-2, then 12-1, 13-0, 12-1, 11-2. I mean, you're seeing the thing. Pete's final year, they were 9-4. Lane took over, and he had, you know, two decent years. A lot of it was probably with Pete Carroll's players, but of course they got slapped with a whole bunch of punishments as well. I guess Lane, of course, got fired in his fourth year. They finished 10-4. That's because Ed Orgeron took over, and he pretty much wrote the ship. And Clay took over, Clay Helton, and they had some good years. It looked like, I mean, they won a Cotton Bowl and a Rose Bowl, but then he went 5-7, 8-5, and then he went 5-1 the pandemic year, and then he was replaced in 2021, and then now they have Lincoln Riley, who's hoping to resuscitate things. The UCLA Bruins is a different story. Well, I mean, the UCLA did have some good years under Jim Mora, and then things fell quickly. But if you look at their resume since 2000, you know, they've won a Sun Bowl, some Sun Bowls, Vegas Bowls, Emerald Bowls, Holiday Bowls, Elmo Bowls. They haven't actually won an actual, what they consider, a major bowl game. They haven't done a whole lot. In fact, the last Rose Bowl they were in was 1998 with Bob Toledo was their coach. And I think that's when they had Cade McNown as their quarterback. But if you look at the resume here, they haven't really... UCLA hasn't really done a whole lot compared to what USC has done. But I think what's really going on here is money is not being made in the Pac-12. UCLA has money problems. USC needs to be able to compete with the other big programs, especially with the NIL, all that stuff. I mean, they paid a whole bunch for Jordan Addison, for God's sakes, and Lord knows who else. And there's a good chance that these programs may not recapture their magic. USC may not get back to the Pete Carroll years. UCLA may never get back to the God knows whatever years.
I'm looking
at the UCLA's stuff here, and I'm trying to look for UCLA's golden years, and I can't find them. I mean, at least Pitt had a golden era, but these guys haven't had a golden era. So what's so freaking great about them? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Maybe the Terry Donahue years were the golden era of UCLA football, but I don't see anything else. Maybe the basketball programs are luring to the Big Ten. I don't know, but. Obviously, they wanted the LA market with USC and UCLA, and there's just nothing here. But there could be a few things. Maybe one thing that's attractive to the for USC that or Southern Cal for the most part that does attract. If I think of my California geography here, because let me see. Let me look at the campus for Southern, Do I have this right? Yeah, they're in L.A. So what could be alluring about L.A.? Let's see. Maybe that's the reason. It doesn't rain in Southern California. Tony. They had a nice run between, I think, what was it, 91? And not maybe 95, maybe? Because, is it 92 to 95? They had a nice little run. I mean, they had this album, and then they had, I think, when I was in ninth grade, they released the other album where that song, I think, was called, was it Loot? Yeah, this song. I was like in eighth grade going in ninth grade in the high school. And this, I remember this song came out. It was a pretty big hit during that summer. I mean, it was one of the main songs of the summer. I mean, I would flip on MTV. You'd get this song. You'd get SWV's Week. There was a whole bunch of other ones that I can't think of. Shoot. Oh, Stone Temple Pilots. I mean, one of their many hits. I think Plush was one of them. That was always getting played. I mean, there was nothing like turning on MTV in the mornings, and they would start playing these videos. There it is. I mean, there was that. I mean, Tony had a pretty nice run. But, maybe it's the weather. It's alluring to, that whole thing. But I guess this was their attempt to get Notre Dame to join a conference. But, USC and UCLA, getting them to join your conference isn't going to get Notre Dame to join your conference. Notre Dame will align with you possibly, but the Big Ten isn't going to do that. They're going to say you either join or you don't. And it's just those two schools just aren't enough. It's to do that. I mean, all they did was add more mouths to feed. I mean, that's really all this is. I mean, I guess it's an arms race between the big and the Big Ten and the SEC, but. I don't know. I mean, it's countering, the additions of Oklahoma and Texas to USC and UCLA just really, it just doesn't, to me, it's just not appealing. I don't think it's much of a counterattack looking back at it. So what's happening on Twitter? Is there anything that's changed at all? And there's talk now of a Big 12, Pac-12 merger. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I think if the Pac-12 is going to merge with the Big 12, it's got to be worth their while. They got to learn what's coming out of their media deal. And if it's really worth it to merge with the Big 12, what's keeping the ACC alive is their media markets. They have more media markets than the Big 12 does, a lot more. And the Pac-12, if they want more media markets, they can easily grab them. I mean, you can grab TCU in Houston if you want to do that. Or if you want to avoid the red tape altogether, you go and you grab SMU, Southern Methodist, which is in the Dallas market, and you grab Rice from the Houston market. I mean, if you do that, I mean, you're grabbing two me markets, Houston and Dallas, two big ones, without any red tape from the Big 12. I mean, it sounds stupid, yeah, but if you're looking for me markets, that's your easiest point. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here. I mean, the thing about with expansion and what's happening is we're not going to know until it's announced. Until then, there's a whole bunch of rumors. Now, there's talk of an alliance between the Pac-12 and the ACC, which pissed off a lot of people because a lot of people are rooting for the Big 12 and the Pac-12 to merge. They're the biggest. There's a lot of cheerleaders in this. And there's talk about the grant of rights being nullified. And, Florida and who else? Florida State, Miami going to the SEC. The thing about that is, they could get in now because there's more members. And Florida's vote probably doesn't have as much power and influence. There's that. Same with Clemson. I mean, there's lots of possibilities. But, there's talk of the Big Ten going after Georgia Tech and I mean, I would definitely do that. I mean, if I'm the Big Ten, but at the end of the day, we're not going to do anything until it's, you know, if anything, Notre Dame is more likely going to stay on path where they're at, and I think the Big Ten is going to stay where they're at and see how everything sorts out. Now, as I scroll on Twitter, there's a lot of talk about the ACC dying, and let me see here. Yeah, but, I mean, if you remember, Pitt wasn't mentioned much in the expansion last time, and one day there was an article late at night saying they were discussing with the ACC along with Syracuse. So, I mean, if anything, teams may stay on path. I mean, the Pac-12, I think their first priority is to keep the league alive in some way. And I think that's what they're going to explore first. Because I don't think they're going to make a jump and merge with a conference like the Big 12 that didn't have any stability to begin with. You know, unless it's worth it to do that. I mean, do you want to abandon your other conference and go somewhere where you may be in the same situation? It's hard to say. And Pitt's never going to get in the Big Ten. That's just how that is, and it's fine. But as a Pitt fan, if the ACC is still intact, if they lose teams and they still keep their P5 status, then fine. You know what? It is what it is. We'll keep, you know, we dealt with this when we were in the Big East, when we lost teams and kept our BCS status. It's going to be no different. I mean, if we can just win the conference and get a New Year's, you know, one of those New Year's bowls, that's fine enough for me. But I think the Big Ten is done for now with what they were doing. The SEC is probably done for now. I think, if anything, they're going to sit back and watch the carnage happen. Anyways, we're going to move on from this, but recapping all this, USC, UCLA go to the Big Ten. Notre Dame says whatever. And right now, we're just at a standstill. There's a lot of scenarios. Like I said, Pitt's best scenario, I mean, if they end up in the, they could stay in the ACC and pretty much, if they can keep their P5 status in the ACC, then they're, you know, we could probably, you know, get our New Year's Bowl, that New Year's Day Bowl or whatever, like we did, like the Peach Bowl or whatever. That's all that matters. You know, I love it when West Virginia fans tell us how our program adds nothing, it's useless. But then they brag about buying our tickets. You know, they brag about purchasing tickets off us to go watch their team play in Pittsburgh. That's just, you know, that's kind of probably one of the most weirdest flexes in history. I know that supposedly the kid from Florida, a kid decommitted from Penn State, and he's committed to Florida, and I guess there's some. The message board geniuses post, I guess, some stuff about him. You know, I tweeted, I'm surprised they haven't posted the kid's phone number or the company his dad works for. Because usually after a loss, Penn State, they have a habit of posting, you know, the referee's personal information and, you know, their house and what it looks like. Ugh. So I saw a tweet the other day about, you know, pick a song that rock song from the late 90s, early 2000s that still hits hard. And I picked Sum 41 Fat Lip because obviously it still hits. But let's take a look at 2001 because that's when it came out. And, you know, that was my, like, junior to senior year where I was a junior going into senior in college. And I just remember 2001 was like, summer 2001 was like a big party, and when 9/11 happened, it was like somebody pulls the plug on the stereo or the jukebox. But we're going to look at some music from that era, because that summer was a pretty hard hitting thing here. So let's give it a look here. All right, the number one hit from July 14, 2001 is Usher, You Remind Me. I'm not going to get too hard into this. But you also remember, this was like, this is when like Kiss FM started. And Kiss FM and B94 were in a competition to see who could play the same five songs over again. And unfortunately, B94 lost out again. It was nice when they came back. But, yeah. But, I mean, at the time you had, let's turn this down. You had Variety 96, I think. Or, I mean, I don't think Bob was in yet. I mean, you had that. You had we had a lot of classic rock stations. Lord knows how many we had. We had Whammo, of course, and we had the jazz station at 104.7. And I think by that time it was a talk radio at that time. It went through so many transformations. But I think people were looking for like a crossover between like rock music, pop music, and like, you know, hip hop, R&B. And that's where Kiss FM filled the void. They played all the popular hits from all the genres. So you didn't have to go to Whammo to listen to, you know, hip-hop R&B. You'd have to venture back to the 105.90X to listen to, you know, that music, you know, which was alternative, whatever they played. You'd have to go to DVE, or you could go just right to that station. You could go right to Kiss. So we have that. That's Usher, You Remind Me. But let's look at number two song. Lifehouse, Hanging by a Moment. All right, let's skip this shit. All right, we're done with this. All right, let's go to the next one here. Now, this one you all gotta remember. And of course, I hope it doesn't play a fucking ad. Oh yeah, here it is. I remember me and my friends when this song came out and the video. I mean, we freaking were amped. I mean, we normally didn't really listen to any of these artists. I mean, I used to jam to Lil Kim. I mean, I had one of her albums. But I remember, I mean, we would be driving, the song would come on, and we would get amped. I mean, we were pumped. I mean, you had the all four girls like lingerie dancing on. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with it. I mean, it was an awesome video. But what's crazy about these four ladies, Christina Aguilera, Pink, Maya, and Little Kim. Pink's the only one that's still consistently releasing material. Like, she still releases albums, and they do fairly well. Lil Kim, I guess, she released, I think, one or two more albums, and she kind of faded off in the sunset. I mean, she was in jail for a bit, and of course she's, I don't know, Lord knows what happened to her after that. I mean, she had a kid, and Maya faded out as well. You know, in the music industry, there's a lot of politics, and supposedly, from what I read, I guess there were some people in power that wanted her to do some things, and she didn't want to do them, and that was that. Christina Aguilera, she's still releasing music, but not as much as she used to. I mean, she does those shows, and, well, I think, what does she have? Not too long after this, she released Stripped, which was her big album. And I think there was one album she did, Bionic, I think. It was that techno-pop type of album, I guess that Lady Gaga was famous for at the time. And that album bombed, and she released that burlesque thing, and that bombed as well. Yeah, Pink was pretty much the only person that consistently released material. And let's not forget this song from summer 2001. Another jam involving two female artists that you got you got that got you hyped up.
I mean, if you really wanted to get the party going, I mean, this was stuff you had to play that everybody would like. And of course, that was "Let Me Blow Your Mind" by Eve and Gwen Stefani when they started teaming up. Let's not forget Blue Cantrell. And let's go to Ja Rule and Jennifer Lopez. You know, Jennifer Lopez is one of the many bags that Ja Rule fumbled. He was doing a whole bunch of, once J-Lo left Puff Daddy, she started doing work with Ja Rule, and I guess he was bragging about sleeping with her, and she stopped working with him. And between that and Fast and the Furious, I mean, there's a lot of bags that Ja Rule fumbled. I mean, you know, his career came, I mean, he was losing, 2002, 2003, he was starting to lose his, everybody fades into the softs, in the sunset, but, you know, 50 and Eminem, all of them came in. But let's do this one then. No, this is the song I said still hits hard after all these years. It does. I mean, this was like a Beastie Boys type of track. And then it goes like a pop punk thing. Pretty clever. But let's take a look at some other hits during this time. Let's see, you had "Ride with Me" with Nelly. You have "Peaches and Cream," which we played before from 112. You had "Drive" from Incubus. I hate that track. I mean, I was an Incubus fan, and that's one song I couldn't stand from them. "Get Your Freak On" from Missy. "What Would You Do" from City High. And of course, you had "Uncle Cracker" with "Follow Me." I mean, there was a whole bunch of these. Let's see. Don't forget, "Stain" was pretty big during that summer as well. They played at X Fest, and I really didn't have any interest in them. And I think I missed almost that whole thing. I mean, who else was on that ticket? Ah, shoot. Oh yeah, this one. Who could forget? I forgot this was the era of rap rock too, I remember. Cause you had them, you had POD. And of course you had Alicia Keys too. Oh yeah. I mean, there's so many tracks, I mean, I can play on this whole top 100 I'm looking at that I'm just not going to do. Oh, there's Craig David, "Fill Me In." That was another nice jam as well. No, is there anything else I can play that's really worth it? There's "Uchiwali" from Nas. Yeah, I'm not doing that one. "Limp Bizkit, My Way." Yeah, I'm not playing "Limp Bizkit." I wasn't really much of a Limp Bizkit fan. I mean, not too long ago, it was the anniversary of them releasing $3 Bill, y'all. And I enjoyed that album, but when I heard the album after that, the one they released in 99, I was like, what is this? But anyways, guys, yeah, this is going to be a boring podcast. It's expansion. I'm talking about songs from 2001. I'm living in the past. And that's about it. You know, I'm sure we're going to have a whole bunch of more conference expansion takes like we always do. And I'm seeing a whole bunch of them. And they're just, you know, we're not going to, yeah, whatever. Anyways, hell to pick, guys. Talk to you later.